so much ah, more like a ah, but maybe like a but not like a ooh, you know. So.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dyson, and I'm joined as always by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Danae Hughes.
I'm holding an eyeball toy.
We write for CinemaSins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the CinemaSins universe as well. To clarify for those who aren't watching, because you could be interpreted as saying an eyeball toy, meaning like a toy for your eyeball, right?
Right.
Or a toy that looks like an eyeball. It is the latter.
I don't think there's a person alive that would think you meant a toy for your eyeball.
I'm just saying it could be interpreted that way. It doesn't matter the percentage of people
exactly
who think
contact,
it was one or the other.
Like a contact? Is that a toy for an eyeball? I mean, like, what would that even be?
Like a pair of, like, gimmick glasses or something someone might call an eyeball toy. Or, yeah, something like
no
that.
One does I don't, that.
No,
no
you're
one
right.
Does
no,
that.
You're right. Listen. Listen, Eddie it. Watts. You are correct. You are absolutely correect.
I love how in the live comments someone says, I don't think there's a bingo square for that.
Noah's too well. We need to change.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Before we get into the rest of the show, just a heads up, we're streamlining Sinside Scoop a little, so it sounds a little bit different to you. You know that's what we're doing. We wanted to kind of give an emphasis
on the behind the scenes
although part Danae and that, I do not understand what Aaron wants to do, so we could screw this up.
This wasn't my idea. Yeah. This was not my idea.
Aaron
this
was
came
like,
from Danae.
Hey, guys, so we're going to streamline some stuff, and we're going to turn it all into a musical. You know how every TV show has like that musical episode?
Mm-hmm.
Should we do that
I wish
for
they
BTS?
All did.
Sure, absolutely.
At some point
they
in
all
time?
Did. Like, can you imagine? Like, that should be a requirement. If you get to like 4 seasons,
you have to do one.
Yeah.
Because can you imagine like a Law & Order SVU musical episode? That would be
amazing.
Awesome.
But when would we get to 4 seasons for the podcast? Like, is that 400 episodes? Is every season 100?
Four years.
Oh,
okay.
So if you're not doing
episodes.
Like actual seasons, then like annual seasons makes sense.
Okay.
Some podcasts do seasons, and those podcasts are smart because they take time off.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. As we got ourselves into one of those weekly podcasts. Got to do it every week.
We accidentaled our way here. Hey, before we get on to the show, I just wanted to remind everybody that the best way for BTS to grow in audience is for you to share it with your friends. So if you know somebody else who loves CinemaSins and might be interested in how the sauce is made. That sounds so disgusting.
Sausage?
Mm-hmm. That's what I meant. Please let them know that they can listen to the show for freeze on any podcast player. We've really loved the audience has always been so supportive from the very beginning, from our very first poll up until, well, right now, we just have such a great fan base. Your tweets are awesome. All of your Patreon interactions are awesome. And we're excited to see the show continue to grow. And the way that it does that is by you telling someone. So I thought maybe I would just ask to see if you have told a friend about this show today. And if you haven't, you still have a few hours until the end of the day. So.
And now, Dicer, Danae, and Jay Watt, the B-Team Troop, it is time for the Sinside Scoop.
Nice.
How's that? How's that? It's BTS the musical.
What's he building in there?
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
This is the true story.
We're going to take a look at the videos of the week, process of sending them, go to the writers themselves and say, hey, what do you remember about this one? We'll kick it off with the Haribo USA Gold Gummy Bears Boardroom video. That is a lot of words.
That really is a lot of words.
Do people know Haribo as gummy bears, or do you have to then like clarify, you know, the gummy bears? Like, I'm curious about this because they're a very prominent brand, but like, I didn't know if that was like people know about them.
I always thought of Haribo because it's gold bears, right? And mm-hmm. I didn't realize gummy bears was like just the term for the type of candy. Like, mm-hmm. I thought there was actually a company that made gummy bears. Probably like that is, was maybe, but like, but Haribo, because when I was watching the video, I was a little confused that we kept calling them gummy bears because I've always thought of them as gold bears, but they do say gold gummy bears or whatever, you know, and
yeah.
So that's what I learned this week.
This one is the commercial where they are in the boardroom talking like children.
Is this a newer commercial?
It's fairly recent.
Listen, I got skipped and I have things to say about gummy bears. So I'm just going to say my opinions.
We're just having a conversation today.
Oh, I
Nobody
thought we were going
you.
Into our sins. I felt the vibe switch.
No.
I misunderstood your cue.
I thought we were hearing from the writer first. I'm
very
confused
right.
about
Jeremy
this
gets
whole
first
new
thoughts
thing.
On this
oh,
one.
Right.
So.
Just I have thoughts on gummy bears. Gummy
well, that's fine.
Bears.
Go with your thoughts
bouncing
on gummy bears
here,
then.
Here and there and everywhere. High adventure that's beyond. Oh wait.
Oh, that's it. Is it beyond? it is. That
it's
makes
both.
Sense.
I think it's both.
It truly is
beyond
the musical
compare.
Episode.
Yeah.
They had quick tunnels, man. I wanted quick tunnels when I was a kid so bad.
Okay, so I'll talk about the commercial and then I won't go back and share my thoughts on Haribo, whatever. These grown-ass adults start eating gummy bears and suddenly they are talking like kids. Next thing you know, they're all also acting like kids. I'm surprised the commercial doesn't end with them picking gnats out of each other's hair and flinging their poo. How did we
get... Did they divert to chimpanzees?
He says, this commercial makes me irate. And the biggest sin is that they are all drinking water. And then there's like several exclamation points. Here's a fun behind the scenes story. Chris emails me before he narrates this to ask about the sin where I imply that different colored gummy bears are not different flavors because he thought the different colors did have different flavors and they do, at least with Haribo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it. But I had never known that about the brand and had never tasted any difference between the different colors of gummy candies my whole life. I thought they all tasted the same. So I start asking friends, my wife, I get nearly 50-50 in responses.
Nice.
Oh, that's so funny. Now it's time to Google. And you know what? It's a greatly debated thing. NPR even did a whole study about it, wondering how much our eyes and the color impacts our eventual taste experience. And there was no consensus to be found. So we decided to keep this in just to troll people.
Nice.
That is a nice Very behind nice. The scenes thing. I didn't know that they were not different flavors, but I do not like the texture of the gold Haribo. There's something about the way that they make their gummies I just don't like as much.
Interesting.
Can we also mention, somebody in the chat said, give me fruit snacks, which I agree with. And I want to tell...
100%.
What I don't like, I've always been a fruit snack person. My wife and I think this was before we were married, at a gas station on a trip, they didn't have fruit snacks. And she's like, just get gummy bears. It's the same thing. And I thought about not marrying her because... Gummy bears and fruit snacks are two very different things.
Yeah, they eat very differently. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the gummy bears have a much tougher chew to them than fruit snacks do. Fruit snacks have a much simpler, easier chew, and they also have a stronger flavor.
Yeah, they have distinct flavors. They taste differently. Like if you get strawberry, it tastes like strawberry.
Yeah.
And it's snozzberries, tastes like snozzberries.
And that's where coronavirus started.
that's where it started.
Yes.
Danae, did you get to express your thoughts on this commercial and on gummy bears?
I over-dramatized it a little bit, but that's kind of what I did.
Yeah, it was just, I don't like
I just don't like them.
Bears.
Yeah.
Did you have anything from the video you wanted to mention?
I remember the first time I tried one, and I think it was at my grandmother's house, and maybe my perception is that it's old people gummies. I don't know. like oh, this is the candy my grandma eats, and therefore it's not great. Yes, I have one sin that I would highlight, which is the one that's like can't stop eating the orange ones, and the sin is just poor self-control, and I thought that was really funny.
That is great. Jonathan, what are some of your thoughts on this one?
Would you say you can't stop the feeling? Is that what you would say?
Can't stop feeling that.
That's a later video, Jonathan. We'll get there.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, so I can't even think of what I was trying to say. So I just liked the term hairballs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Of course.
And then we already mentioned, Jeremy talked about the different flavors. That was the other one I had written down. Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah, he also mentioned the one that I wanted to mention, which has just cracked me up, where it's like, nobody's drinking a Diet Coke. Come on, have you ever been in a board meeting? There's at least one person in every gathering that is drinking some sort of diet carbonated beverage. And that one person in this gathering is Eddie Watts. Eddie Watts drinking his Diet yeah, Dr. Pepper.
It was always me in meetings. I was always the guy with the diet. It's not even a joke. Like, that's 100% true. Yeah. Everybody else drinks like water or like tea or something.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I loved it. I thought it was great. All right, let's move on to TV sins. We'll kick it off with some more SpongeBob. I think this maybe the last of our big like SpongeBob rush that we did when we were kind of doing some behind the scenes stuff.
Didn't we intend to release even more back to back, but then other stuff was like, let's do this one instead. So they're kind of
So,
when this released, I saw a comment somewhere. I don't remember where it was. It's like, you know, there are current shows.
Yeah.
It's like, have you been watching? Like,
what's fun?
We do those too.
I still love the comment section of the SpongeBob episodes though so much because there's. Mm-hmm. Such a huge fan base of nostalgia for this show. And it always shocks me when somebody talks about how a particular episode impacted them. This one's one that was kind of more intense because there's like a murder situation. So, you know, like as a child, you're watching SpongeBob try to cover up this potential murder and bury someone. And there's like, you know, some violence in it that you might not expect. And then another one that I remember people being like, this episode scared the shit out of me, was the one where they go down into like the really deep layer and they're missing the bus over and over again. I can't remember the name of that one, but it had this like ominous thing that kept kind of coming at them, and the comments were just filled with adults who as a child were traumatized by SpongeBob. And I love those comments, not because I like people's trauma, but just like them finding each other in the chat, like in the comment section, like they do, oh god. And so it's kind of happening with Nasty Patty a little bit, which is interesting to me.
The SpongeBob episodes, by the way, are I was just looking at this yesterday, easily the most loved episodes we do, is if you look at the like percentage of people hitting like versus dislike.
Wow, even more than Rick and Morty.
Yeah, the like dislike ratio on SpongeBob's are like 98-99%.
Wow, that's
for everyone.
That's so cool.
You never get that. That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's I think people you know, really do enjoy them.
Did we, because we did these a while back because we were trying to like have some, you know, just have content, whatever. We don't need to get into all that, but did we release this one knowing there was a new SpongeBob show premiering this week?
I'm discovering this right now.
We did no idea.
I had no idea.
Paramount Plus. I think it's this week. It's on Paramount Plus. It's like Camp Coral. It's about like SpongeBob as a kid, I think.
Oh my gosh.
Well, we have to send that. That's amazing. Like, why would we do that?
Look it up, Jay Watt. in this episode, there is a health inspector coming to inspect Krusty Krab, and there is a moment of a news position that says that there's an imposter. They assume that the person, the health inspector at the Krusty Krab, is an imposter, and so they decide to serve him a disgusting, nasty Krabby Patty, which they think in turn kills him. And so then they're trying, Mr. Krabs and SpongeBob are trying to bury the body, and it's just this tension building kind of episode. I had such a fun time sitting this one. I love it when this happens, when it's like the skies open and just this
the sins are presented to you.
Yeah, it was just like I was in the zone. I got to sin, like, you know, uvulas in fish, and everything was coming to me. Food chonk came back up. Like, it was great.
I hate it when food chunks come back up.
Oh, that's true.
It's a difficult
thing.
That's
kind of a strange
one. Yeah, Danae, and I'll just say Danae and Jonathan wrote on this one. So Danae, you can kind of continue on with your thoughts.
It's funny because just before the show, Jonathan was reminding me that I wrote so much on this one. And there are weeks when we have heavier writing schedules. And so I reached out to Jonathan to say, hey, just to let you know, I have a lot to pull from on this one. So if you need to have like a more of a mindless approach to this particular script, I had totally forgotten that happened. But in reading the script back, I was like, this is a fun one. And I know you're looking something up, Jonathan. Did you find it?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm confused. IMDb says it premiered on March 4th, but I think it's like this week. But
maybe like a
anyways,
stream.
It is. It is called Camp Coral. It's on, it's this early SpongeBob Crazy. Years. It's on Paramount Plus, but also on July 9th, the Patrick Star Show premiered as well.
Oh,
so
dear.
There's two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, we should keep those in mind.
We should. I really enjoyed the lead-in is wash your hands. This is when Mr. Krabs is kind of freaking out about the health inspector mm-hmm. showing up, and he's just barking orders at SpongeBob and says, wash your hands, clean the floors, change your underwear. And the sin is, but in reverse order, right? Which I like when, because then people kind of have to pause and then think about it and then continue. And I don't get to yeah. experience those very often. And I had to talk a little bit behind the scenes about the sin because I asked Aaron for a redo on And let mm-hmm. me tell you, trying to express the sort of that you're going for just in text alone is a tricky bitch. So...
It's also weird because, like, I listened to what they did and I thought I did the, like, calm version of what they did, which is kind of the joke in those moments.
It sounded more like a spa day, like,
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, but see, to me, that's, like, listen, here's the deal as the narrator sometimes. You want to please the writers, right? At the end of the day, it's their script. Yeah, you want to make sure that they're getting what they want.
Do what I want.
This was one of those situations where I was like, yeah, but the joke is that the narrator doesn't give it the same energy that they do. Like when it's no, and the sin just no. You know, like the joke is you bring it down like that's the sin, right? And so, but it was just that it was the wrong pronunciation for you. And so I had to figure out how to go, you know, instead of or whatever it was.
Yeah, I think you said I did first. And I'm like, no, not like you're in awe of something. It's more like you're at-ing. Yeah. So I think I actually ended up sending you like a little audio clip.
You did.
And it was just me going, not so much awe, more like but maybe like but not like you know?
Yeah, yeah. So it was vaguely helpful.
Yep.
Jonathan, what are some of your thoughts from this process?
No, yeah, I mean, Danae wrote most of this. I mean, like she already said.
You wrote a ton in this.
No, I wrote a decent amount. It was one of those crazy stretches. Every now and then we'll get like where one of us has like 8 scripts due in like 12 days. I mean, it's just and especially at this time because we were working ahead, we were trying to help ourselves out. So Danae had just came to me and said, "Hey, I actually got like a decent amount here, so you know, if you want to fill in the gaps or whatever." But no, I wrote like 12 or 13, which I mean for like a 10 minute episode, I mean that's fine. But
it's more than one per minute.
The one sin that stuck out to me was I wrote this sin where they says like mop it up or something like that, or mm-hmm. and then the sin is, I think you're getting yourself confused with Mop Bob String Pants. They would simply wipe off the counter with you and potentially make creative use of your many holes. Mm-hmm. And then I left a comment after I wrote that says, I know this is fucked up. and Danae still left it in, which I appreciated.
There you go.
I wanted her aware. I knew how sick I was being in my mind.
You guys definitely mentioned the ones that I wanted to talk about. I love the food chonk. The comments love the food chonk. Chonk is king. Anytime chonk, you want to bring
what
the chonk
great
back.
Word. It's just yeah, a, great
it's
word.
A great word.
Chonk, chonk.
Yes.
And then I did. I laughed out loud at human teeth, tongue, and uvula in a fish. And it was just,
fish.
It's worded really nicely. So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to a modern day show. By the way, Ted Lasso, with the new season coming back this week, we send the pilot episode of Ted Lasso. This was myself, Danae, and Ian writing on this one, as far as main writers go. Did Ian have any thoughts from behind the scenes of Ted Lasso?
Yeah, he said, this one has been in the bag for what feels like months, but I remember when Danae asked me something like, hey, you're British, want to write on something soccer related? He says, I hate soccer so much, like a lot, like more than stubbing my toe after flinching from biting my tongue in reaction to hitting my funny bone. But I surprisingly loved the first episode of Ted Lasso. I think it does a great job of incorporating some of our classically sarcastic, dry British humor with a good old underdog / fish out of water story. That's kind of his general thoughts.
Yeah, I think to be fair, it wasn't just that it was about soccer / football.
No.
It takes place completely in the UK.
Exactly.
So like his perspective would be very beneficial.
It was one of those things where we were looking ahead on the schedule and we're looking at Ted Lasso, and I was assigned as one of the writers, went to go just look what it was about, realized that it was happening in the UK. I was like, how do we not ask this person to be a part of it? Because if there are certain things that only a local person would know, this is this is when they have a chance to shine. But it turns out I'm the one that wrote the T story, the T sin rather. So he must have just kind of oopsied his way. Yeah. I'm kidding.
That's a great sin, by the way.
I don't know. I didn't know the writers yet. And I had no idea where they were from or anything. Yeah. So I just like, man, you guys did a lot of research. Because I shadowed the script.
Yeah, that was actually something that he talked about, too, when we get into the sins part. I just have to say, I really
did. Oh, it's all together. So if he has other stuff to say.
Oh, okay.
You can go into that.
Okay, I'll just zip over into that.
We don't know what we're doing, Aaron. Doing. You weren't good at explaining this.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I just forgot. He says, interesting sense, despite not being a soccer fan, I had a hunch that the stereotypical black and white soccer ball hadn't been in service for quite some time. And I was right. It took about 30 minutes of research to get some consistent dates, but it was totally worth it to prove that Ted Lasso's kid is a moron. Kids.
That's fascinating, though. They don't use that soccer ball anymore. Mm-mm. At all.
Isn't it such an interesting thing? It's just like it's just visually. Is such a representation.
It's from our childhood. Yeah. It's just the soccer ball from our childhood. It was changed a long time ago. Yeah.
I mean, I've watched parts of soccer games here too, and I guess I just assumed. I guess I wasn't really paying that close attention to the ball, which the cameras. It's typically a little farther away anyway. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. If you just like a Google search soccer ball, then you'll see.
That's fascinating.
You'll see the one that we think is normal, but anyways, he did some research to
keep changing.
I don't know. He goes on. I also love the fantastic coincidence that Anthony Head's character, the cheating husband, was called Rupert in this, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah,
leading to a great shared universe thought experiment. I of course loved that my voice got to briefly appear in this video. That was a really fun idea that I think worked really well. Apparently, this narrator has a super shady browser history that I somehow have gained access to. I will sell this access to the highest bidder. Find me on Twitter.
Nice.
I liked Ted Lasso. I didn't expect to like Ted Lasso, but I liked Ted Lasso. I didn't go back and dip in for watching episode 2 or anything like that. But there's something about the endearment of a genuine character, or a character at least that appears to be very genuine and just kind of
like that Mr. Rogers vibe,
wearing your heart on your sleeve person. Quirky and sort of misses social cues that people think he's an idiot, and obviously is missing some major clues that he's been brought in to just take a fall later on. Mm-hmm. I think this pilot sets a really good tone for the rest of the series, and I think it was done really well because it wasn't too heavy-handed in any one way. Yeah. So they introduced a lot of characters, in one episode, and a lot of big themes, but just a little bit at a time, enough to where it's not shoving everything down your throat as to what to expect. So it kind of has a confidence that I really liked. And there's something about the woman lead character who I can't think of her name right now, but she was just she drew me into her whole world, even though she's...
Are you talking about the owner?
Yeah, the owner woman.
That is Hannah Waddingham. This was the first time I had watched Ted Lasso. I now have an insane crush on her.
She's...
Rebecca in the show, yeah.
She is... She just has this really powerful presence, both in her dress, with this sort of really high class business dress, and how she speaks so demandingly. And even though it's clear by the end of the pilot that she's nefarious, there's something about the way that she is portraying this character that I was really interested in. So pair that with Ted, who I'm also interested in and kind of rooting for in this way. It's definitely something I would watch. If my husband was like, hey, let's sit down and watch something, I think we'd watch Ted Lasso.
Yeah,
I liked it, man. I haven't gone off and watched the other episodes. And I should repeat, insane crush. That sounded creepy. I just she
we get it.
I crushed on her.
Yeah,
I she's taller. She's authoritative. I just it's cool. I love the hell out of this. I'm gonna definitely at some point watch the rest of it. I just it's on the list. Jason Sudeikis, I don't think I've seen him like this.
Yeah.
He's always kind of smarmy and kind of the smart ass.
This one was different. And I really, there's a depth to it. Well, first it seems sort of superficial and silly and comedic, but then you realize by the end of the first episode, there's a heartbreak and a depth there, and they didn't need to play into that too much. And like his sidekick person that's with him also seems interesting.
Yeah, great.
Sins that I really enjoyed was the, if I don't hear silence, I'm going to start punching dicks. This was coming from one of the players who is kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
And then the sin is, if silence is your goal, I wouldn't recommend starting your beating in the pelvic area. Speaking of which, beating in the pelvic area is exactly why they've... which there's like in this running jokes within. And then there was this really funny thing. So Ian wrote a gif joke because there is a lead in about pronouncing the word gif, and it's kind of this funny kind of moment on screen. And then I think Aaron wrote the one that actually made it into the final script. And I remember it was like two opposing opinions. I think Ian wanted to write a sin that sort of poked fun of Aaron, like Aaron, not the narrator, but Aaron the writer, and Aaron the writer's hatred of the mispronunciation of the word GIF. And so to have both of you writing on one script, going at this from two different angles. And I remember Ian writing to me after he saw the final, and he's like, damn it. Yeah, Aaron wrote the better sin there. Like, he really wanted his to be in there, but and God bless him for getting it right, was just, it was perfect and fun.
God bless them for getting it right.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and that was the thing with that sin. It still makes fun of the narrator.
It does. It was perfect.
You know, because it's like he's saying one thing, but his words are making the opposite point.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a perfect play.
And I will say on a video we'll talk about in a few weeks that I just reviewed yesterday, the narrator now is not even explaining that he's going to say something differently. He's just going to pronounce things the way he wants to, and it's going to be interesting to see that people that don't understand that
I'm looking forward to it.
Why did he say that so wrong? How did they not catch that?
I love Ted Lasso. I watched the entire first season. It only gets better from the pilot. That character is one of my favorite characters ever to be in a TV show.
Are you
TV
caught
series.
Up? Is that right?
They just released the second season. First two episodes today, so I haven't watched those.
But you watched the whole first season.
Whole first season, and I love it. I love the entire season. I love so many of the characters. The best TV shows for me are the ones where it's like, I can't wait to hang out with these people again and see what they're up to. And this is one of those shows for me where I'm like, I want to know what Ted's up to. I want to know what Coach Beard is up to, you know, his coach buddy. I want to know what Nathan's up to. They're like third little, you know, wheel on their track. Bicycle.
Guy,
yeah,
it was the just one like, that we never remember his name. Yeah.
yes.
And I don't know. Because I don't know how it gets, but like at least in the pilot, like I think Danae kind of alluded to the scene where he's on the phone.
Yeah, at the very end. Yeah,
and it's just really nice. I mean, it's sad, but it's also like, but it felt earned.
We were kind of
talking about this in Rick and Morty when they try to do something like that. You're just like, what? But like, I don't. Does this show continue in that kind of vein?
Yes.
Is it kind of got that drama side to it too? That's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, and it all feels great, and I just like this is one of my favorite shows right now, and I'm really excited to see season two if they can keep it up. So,
and it's not that many episodes. I think they're only like 30 minutes. So,
and there's like 10 a season. So,
but it was
it's
really
an easy watch.
Succinctly done in 30 minutes. It seems like it was a longer pilot. I'm just thinking about all the times we've watched hour long pilots that feel long. Mm-hmm. They should do it like this. Where it's a 30-minute long experience that feels like there was a lot of content there.
Some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that I really enjoyed, you mentioned the running anti-masturbation jokes.
Yeah,
where
that was so funny.
The idea is that soccer was invented to keep young boys from masturbating, and then there's just a series of, you know,
just quips
jokes
against
about
it.
I wonder if that is, I mean, I would think that's got some truth in it, but I
don't know.
I know, that's just such a weird thing, because I know one thing about soccer that and why it's become so, it's very accessible, right? You don't need...
Yeah.
You just need a ball and a field and a couple of nets and you can play. So it's, you know, it's not as complex as far as necessities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I love this video. Are you done? I'm sorry.
I just had a couple others I was going to mention. I like that the spotting of the coach looks out longingly at the empty playing surface cliche, because that happens in every single sports movie now. And then to say, seriously, we get it. They want to make weird stadium babies with their sport. I love that one. And then you mentioned the God bless them for getting it right. Then the calling people lassos instead of asshole. Like the idea that there's an opposite of an asshole and it's a lasso.
Yeah.
Like I love it. It almost feels like the same kind of word. Like,
yeah.
And it's right. That's what that character is the opposite of that. So like I just, that to me is a concept that I'm almost going to take like into my real life. And like I can see that catching on.
The
where
Church
it's something
of Lasso?
Like, yeah, where it's like, you know, you're being such a lasso, you know, by
says,
being so
oh
generous.
My God, thank you.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
So kind.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
I love it.
What about you, Jonathan?
I was like the Major Lee comparisons with the the Hannah Waddingham character were in my mind the whole time. So I was really glad you had the sin where she says, "I hope he fails miserably," and then the sin is Major Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really funny. I also liked the stuff with resume and CV, and then at the end, if you don't like it, you can shove it up your CV.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just enjoyed the calling the English pubs the OG YouTube's comment section.
Yeah,
OG it's YouTube
true.
Comment section. Yeah,
so
for sure.
Funny.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, let's move on to music video sins. BTS Permission to Dance. I believe this was a Barrett script. Mm-hmm. Did he have anything to say about BTS Permission to Dance?
Okay. Not this week. I'm sure it's the same thing he said about BTS in the past, which is I think he really enjoys BTS.
He does.
Yeah.
And they have such a huge fan following. I think this is what the third or fourth one that has made its way on the channel since we started doing BTS, because every time it happens, I'm like, it's us. No, it's not
yeah,
us.
Yeah, no, it's not us.
It's not us.
Jonathan, why don't you start us off? Some thoughts on the video or the sins or just some thoughts on this thing?
I mean, I thought the song was okay. I didn't actually watch the video itself, like the actual
music video
on this one. So I don't know all of the song, but I've heard it though. My daughter's played it, but it's an okay song. I liked the sin about it being Can't Stop the Feeling. Because it feels very similar to that mm-hmm. type of thing. And to be fair, it's not like it's not like Can't Stop the Feeling is original in its own right. I mean, there's been other songs like that, but
sure.
The video itself, the way it felt kind of like they were trying to get everyone involved. I don't know. It did feel very similar, like they were going for that kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay. I mean, they're talented. I still think there's too many of them, but you know. That's how they work, so that's fine. I just get it's just a lot.
A lot of people
that have to sing a line,
a
and you're just like, man.
Did you have any sins you wanted to bring up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he goes into this whole diatribe about these two girls like sitting by themselves in a restaurant, and then like I think the lyric is something like, you know, we had to find something else to do, essentially. And then, you know, Barrett's going on this whole thing, but why wouldn't dinner with them have been just as good? He even gives them names and stuff. And then at the end, it's just, they made paella, assholes. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And then the David S. Pumpkins outtake.
So good.
Now is the time when we dance.
Dance?
Dance?
So good. Danae, some thoughts from you.
I watched a little bit of the video, not the full thing, but just to kind of get a general sense of what it is. I always think that dancing bands, you know, that where there's a lot of emphasis on the performance is really interesting to me. I think synchronicity is really fascinating to watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think synchronized swimming is
yeah,
like
Olympics. Yeah, let's talk Olympics.
Aaron mentioned the outtakes.
Oh my God. Is it Olympics?
Synchronized swimming is an Olympic sport.
Holy
yeah.
shit. Now there's something it just blows my mind to try to figure out ways or the Rockettes, things like this where mm-hmm. it's so important to have all of your movements match. So You Think You Can Dance is another one that I love watching when they really just work at getting completely mm-hmm. in sync. So when you watch a band like BTS, that's why I like watching the music videos. And I oftentimes forget mm-hmm. to listen to the lyrics or to pay attention to anything. I'm just watching what they're doing.
I got your back.
Okay, good. I didn't write down a lot of the sins. I did actually sin this in my mind as I watched it, though, because they release a balloon at the very beginning, and that's really bad for the environment, okay? So don't do that.
Don't do that.
I definitely sin that in my mind.
That used to be a big thing.
Churches
would do that.
Yeah,
everybody would release a balloon with a message on it. I remember doing that all the time.
I'm an idiot, although I probably do know this once you tell me, why is that bad for the environment? Just because it'll eventually pop and it'll like I mean
Bird will choke on it.
Balloons are, they're not only are they litter, because of course once they deflate, then they're out there. But yeah, plastic pollution is kind of the basis of it. They make their way to waterways. They clog things
that
up.
Makes sense.
Animals eat them, and of course they can't be digested, so they can actually end up killing things. So yeah, I mean, less plastic the better is the general kind of.
I don't know why, but I never thought of a balloon as plastic, but it is.
Totally. So much of what we have around us is plastic.
Yeah, oh, I know. It's true. I mean, I mean, that's the thing, right? Yeah. But not, and anyway. We don't let balloons go. God, if a balloon goes, my daughter would have cried.
No. Okay. Quick balloon story. And then I'll tell you about the sin that I wrote down that I enjoyed. My brother and I had our favorite balloon when we were little. I think I was 6 and my brother was 5 or like.
Do you call it balloony?
Probably. We actually buried it in the backyard once it popped. We had our own little funeral for it. We brought our toys outside and set all the toys up, and we dug a hole and we buried the balloon. Yeah.
So you probably destroyed the ground in that area for years to come.
If you go back to that house, it's just this massive patch of earth that just will not grow. there's a sin where they're walking through a laundromat and all of the dryers are filled with balloons with a blue light kind of lighting them up, and the sin is just essentially obviously sinning the balloons in the wash, which is, you know, now there's your problem right there. You have to clean a bunch of balloons. You have to put on the permanent press setting with high agitation. It's the only way to get the dirt that collects around the knot. Oh, also you have to turn the machine on. Just this was really clever and cute, and I liked it.
I like that one too. I had that one written down. This song is—it's just a happy-go-lucky pop song, right? Like it's just, you know, it is what it is. It's—I have no problem with it. It's fun to listen to. It is to me kind of the essence of BTS as I understand them. And yeah, I enjoy it. I also really enjoyed the video. The one you mentioned, I had written down. The why don't you stop staring at random balloons and clean this pigsty up? About the playground that the kids were on. Like how purposefully, like the set designers were like, we're going to throw a hula hoop here and some cones over here. Yeah. And it's like that small group of children like went to all those different places to play with those toys. Like, music video doesn't know how to playground correctly. You have to turn the machine on, which is the other
you got to turn. Don't forget.
Don't forget. All right, let's move into Cinema Sins. We'll kick it
can't
off with
Stop the Feeling.
Sorry. G.I. Dance, Joe Retaliation.
Sorry.
This was a Chris, Ian, and Daniel script. So Chris and the new guys. Today, any thoughts from the writing team on this one?
Yeah. Both Chris and Ian weighed in, so I will get on that. We'll start with Chris, who says, back in 2013, there was a rockification thing going on. If you had an action franchise, you wanted to find a way to put Dwayne Johnson in it. And in this movie...
He was franchise Viagra.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is not what Chris said, but this is what Dennis said. He's so charismatic. Mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't want to watch Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Okay.
I don't know, but I don't want to be their friend.
I have opinions.
Oh, do you? Oh, man.
I changed my mind then. I want to be Jonathan's friend, even if he has opinions.
No, I love Dwayne. Dwayne Johnson. Yeah.
Chris continues by saying, and in this movie, they rockified it so much that they killed off Channing Tatum's character. This is the action movie version of Dave, where Cobra installs a lookalike president, played by Jonathan Pryce, to take a series of steps that will allow Cobra to take over the world. It involves playing chicken with the world's nuclear arsenal and leaving all the nuclear powers of the world without any weapons. I was a shadow on this one, so Ian and Daniel did most of this script while I sprinkled some in. But what's funny to me about the sequels is how they want to have some sort of continuity from the previous movie while just plain ignoring other things. This one starts off with a reference to the Nanomite Wars, even though in the first movie, not even one war got started and the people responsible were jailed before they could do anything. And there's this odd, do I bother sinning this type of thing when the movie says a character named Destro is in prison. At the end of the first movie, the character who would later be called Destro is someone named McCullen, and he is a famous entrepreneur. The Cobra Commander gives him the name Destro at the very end of the movie, just before they both go to prison. And yet the powers that be have decided, quote, we have someone named Destro in our prison. Anyway, Well done, Ian and Daniel.
Nice.
Yeah. So the bulk of the script was Ian and Daniel, with Chris kind of overseeing it. And here are Ian's thoughts. One of the perks of writing for CinemaSins is that I get exposed to films I would have probably never watched. Did I say perks? I mean burdens. Oh, shoot. Did I say exposed? I mean forced. Admittedly, as the token Brit, I am probably not the target audience for this one. But hey, movie that does not excuse you for being the most frustratingly inconsistent, predictably macho, Jonathan Pierce wasting, Ray Park squandering, nonsensical one-ling steaming, flaming, turd-munching pile of money-grubbing Hasbro bullshit I've ever seen. Wow, I should have read that before. I feel like I didn't give that justice, but we'll go with it.
It was great. Oh, no, it was great.
That was a lot. Mm-hmm. That was wordy. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ian. The part that really took the biscuit for me was when Lady Jane shares her rightfully infuriating backstory of being looked down upon as a woman in the military, only to be reassured, sincerely, by Soldier Boy that her butt looks great in that dress, and she fucking smiles at him instead of pistol whipping him into the next pandemic. Sigh. No, I did not like this movie. My favorite sin that I wrote, in case you confused it with Run DMZ, it's so dumb, but I loved it. And my most interesting,
mm-hmm, I had that one.
Yeah, that was really good. My most interesting was pulling apart everything in Bruce Willis's kitchen. Honestly, how does that man eat? No appliance in that kitchen was usable, and no cupboard could actually be used for storing of foodstuffs. Even the man's wardrobes and living room units were filled with more ammo than Rambo's summer house, and mm-hmm. he was going to turn them away. What the fuck else is waiting for? He must stock up for the reason. Sigh. I probably read some of that a little bit off, but there are Ian's thoughts.
There you go. Nice. I'll go first on this one. G.I. Joe Retaliation. I saw it and it immediately left me. I don't Same. Like, I was watching this video just going, mm-hmm. oh yeah, mm-hmm. that was this movie. And
we had the same experience.
I just like, I'm watching this video being reminded of stuff because it was such an empty movie to me. And so yeah, I love this Sins video though. I had mm-hmm. to mention This Cock's On for some time with all the gun cocking. It was so good. I loved the, it's almost like The Rock wrote it and everyone else was Vin Diesel. Like the idea that The Rock, wanted to separate himself from Fast and Furious, you know, because he doesn't like Vin Diesel or whatever. And so he took it out here. Just, I don't know. That made me giggle quite a lot. Mm-hmm. I liked the word protocolas, nice portmanteau with the idea of, like, whether somebody says pop or soda, which we've talked about before on this show between the three of us. And it's the sin is so right that if the president started changing how he referred to carbonated beverages, there would be many, many people who would notice that because mm-hmm. people talk about that. That is a thing people somehow care about, like the GIF.
Remember
GIF
pre-social
war,
media when Dan Quayle misspelled potato? This is pre-social media.
Yeah. Well, and technically
you could not
just
go
spelled it differently.
Anywhere, huh?
Technically, he spelled it a correct way. It's just a different correct way.
Yeah,
you know?
I said like, that incorrectly myself. Yeah. But yeah, but I just think about that, like, whenever something like this comes up, and I'm like, absolutely, there's no
people
way.
Would know. People would know. I loved the, in case you confused it with the last time you confused it.
Oh my God,
when
I
they
love
repeated,
that one.
Yeah, when they repeated the Tokyo.
It's so funny.
Japan or whatever. It's so very funny.
That might be my all-time favorite not to be confused with ever. Yeah.
It's so clever.
How have I never thought of that? I hate both of you.
Well, it could have been any of the three. We don't
and
know.
And I also love you. That's true.
Brilliant.
That's probably Chris.
Brilliant pun with Hasbros.
Yes.
Had to put a shine of light on that. Just brilliant wordplay. And then all the Angry Birds stuff, where I think one of the sins finishes, you barely killed one pig with that weak sauce. Just the idea that the narrator was well aware of Angry Birds and the boomerang pig and all that stuff. Really, really enjoyed. Jonathan, what about you? What are some of your thoughts?
Same with you on the movie. And I saw this when it came out.
Yeah.
I forgot about it. I didn't even remember stuff when I was watching the video. I'm like, wait, have I seen? And I know I've seen it. Like, I know 100% I have seen this movie. I saw it at a drive-in. I remember very well. But didn't remember anything about it. My comments about The Rock, though, earlier, I will say this real quick. What I meant was that, like, I think this happens to a lot of movie stars when they get more control of the narrative If you'll notice with The Rock especially, he works with like the same directors. Like when he does, and they're not directors that like we knew beforehand. Like it's kind of like he kind of has these guys in his pocket. He's like, hey, Brad, we'll let you direct this one. You know?
It's like it's like they show up at his gym and they're like having conversations. So, like, you know what? Yeah. You should be a director.
So they're just kind of become like there's just become this kind of predictability to his films that I don't find isn't like I tend to go back to his earlier stuff like Walking Tall or stuff like that when he was, you know, working with a lot of and I just hope maybe eventually he goes back to that. Like maybe he goes and does a movie with like Tarantino. I mean, think about him like in a Tarantino movie.
Sure.
I mean I just want to see something like that. Like kind of the stuff that Bautista is actually doing. Mm-hmm. But The Rock is such a better Dwayne Johnson is a better actor than Dave Bautista. So I don't know. That's just that's my whole thing with him. I love the guy though. He seems like he's just genuinely awesome and he's just got a big heart. But the movie it's weird because I hated Rise of Cobra, but I think that's quite a bit better than this. Like, because Barrett and I send that a couple years ago.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's weird though, right? Because that movie's terrible. But you're kind of like, I kind of want to just go watch that now. If I'm going to.
Sure.
And as far as the sins, there's some dialogue early on. I don't think anybody mentioned this one, but it was about the missile being in the missile assembly building.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then the sin is, wait, you mean the missile they need to track down is in the missile assembly building? Huh. That's weird. I liked the Top Chef sin, the Top Chef comment, and then it said they should have called this movie If Cinema Sins Ran Military Ops. There's that crazy Snake Eyes getting in on the latest internet craze, avalanching when he was like going down the mountain.
So good.
And then I have to tell you, I almost like peed myself yesterday when I was watching this and the Neil deGrasse Tyson outtake, the neum. Oh, I didn't know that existed. I had to ask Chris what that was because I mean, I was dying. Like I was just like, what was that?
Yeah, that was great.
He couldn't remember who actually put it in, but he showed me what it was.
And
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Thoughts, Danae?
I've never seen the G.I. Joe stuffs. I don't intend to, but it's just not my vibe. It's very Fast and Furious-esque is what I was trying to say. And there's a place for those kinds of action things, but it's just not something that I'm like, oh, this is what I'm going to sit down and watch. But I love The Rock. I love Dwayne. He's a great follow on Instagram, by the way, if you just like following like celebrity personalities. Yeah. He does a great job of showing you into his life a little bit, not too much, but also you really get a dose of his personality. And that's what I think is really enticing and charming to watch is it's just like a super infused version of him. And of course, my first exposure to him was WWE. And he is so charismatic. First of all, I don't enjoy WWE, but there are certain personalities that I just like you cannot help but watch, and he is certainly one of them. And he's someone who just understands the power of his charisma. So anyhow, I wouldn't really watch this, but I can understand why. The sins that I enjoy, there was one that was about like there's these things that you can put on your hands and then you can like swipe the metal away and they light up, and they're supposed to be on this covert, I guess, operation, and these like gloves light up and burn through the gate.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Chain link fence.
The fence. Thank you. Why can't I think of the word fence? but the sin is, hey, you know what's cheap? Cuts through metal and doesn't light up like a Christmas tree. That was really funny to me. As Ian said, all of the kitchen stuff killed me. And then the 1776 pin code being put into like the wall to unset the alarm on the house, and the sin's like, ah, oh, yes, 1776, the year that Edward Kimmon published his seminal work, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. It's just great. It had a lot of really fun little clever winks and nods all through it. So it was great script.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. It was a great script. I really loved it.
That's weird. Didn't that one also end that way or something? Like, or that's odd or something. I don't know. It was really
well. There was only one, huh? That's weird. Yeah.
But it was really well. I like that scent a lot. It was very well crafted.
It's good stuff. All right, let's move on to Lady in the Water. This was an OG writer script. Jeremy and Chris tackling this M. Night Shyamalan.
No, wait, real quick. This, if I remember correctly, in past talks, Danae, this is like a favorite of yours, right?
So I have seen this movie, and I did love it a ton.
Yeah.
And You've never watched it again? I think I've only watched it a couple of times. In rewatching it through the Sins video lens, you know, there's gonna be some new takeaways and some things.
Yeah.
But there is something about the fantastical stories that I'm always gonna really enjoy, even though they fall apart when you start to pick at the seams. And I don't know, I really enjoyed this, but I remember when it came out, so many people did not. That it's one of those experiences where you just don't talk about it. For me, this is how I handle it. The conversation comes up. Oh, did you see Lady in the Water? Yeah, fuck that movie. And there's, I'm like, I'm gonna excuse myself.
I've read it's been a while, so I don't remember the specific critics, but I remember there was a critic screening of this, like at the studio or whatever, and it's like all these different critics wrote these stories about how everybody turned on the film.
Yeah.
And it was like this insane thing that happened.
Well, of course they did. It's about how terrible they are.
I know.
But you know,
there's a fascinating, I wish I could find like a link to some of those articles, because it was pretty fascinating at the time.
Should we get Jeremy and Chris's?
Yes, but when you're not, whatever. I'll get to them in a second.
Breaking the rules.
Yeah, exactly. It's the first time we're trying to do something new. Let's just break the rules already. I just have to say, there's something about watching this movie having no understanding of how stories are supposed to be written and the subversive text underneath it and what it's trying to say. Just watching it. And that's how I enjoyed this movie. Now that I'm like,
that is the point of the movie. I'm sorry,
really
you're egging me into this. I love Lady in the Water,
I
think people misunderstand the movie so much. But
I loved the little switches, you know, with all the characters coming together at the very end. I loved it. I thought it was incredibly fun. And there is something like about the storytelling and sitting in moments for a long time. It just, for me, it puts you more in the moment, and it became more and more serious. Whereas the Sins video, I was like, wow, yeah, this is so easy to just, you know, pick apart, because it is, you know. Anyways,
let's get Jeremy and Chris's thoughts, then we'll talk more on it.
Okay, you can read them today.
Okay.
Oh, just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I don't think that they included you. Jeremy says, Lady in the Water is awful. It's like school, only the subject is more boring than geology. Everyone in this movie just throws up exposition on screen all movie long. One scene has dude jumping in the pool. Other than that, literally nothing actually happens on screen. It's all told to you. It's all narrated in your face because you like narration. It's a bad movie, and it should feel very bad. Here is M. Night saying, critics are so wrong and artists are so fucking important. I'm gonna make a whole movie about that. And he ends up proving the critics right and making the universe's best evidence that not all artists are important. It's absolutely baffling how insulting he has become from reality. Insulated, not insulting. Insulated he has become from reality. No content, not content to just cameo in his movies anymore. Here he makes himself the literal savior of humanity, whose art will inspire future leaders. I mean, goddamn. He could have filmed himself on a cross in a Jesus costume, rapping about twist endings, and it would have been less self-indulgent and self-serving. Favorite sins? I love the ones Chris wrote when the teen neighbor girl's ass is on screen. Introduction by S. It's a very weirdly lurid shot for M. Night, and I was happy Chris called it out so bluntly. I also wrote a few sins about how busy the apartment pool is, and then later how every single tenant shows up to the pool party. I've lived in a lot of apartment complexes with pools, and clearly M. Night has not. I also enjoyed writing that sin where M. Night and Freddy Rodriguez have the fictional casting conversation about how useless Freddy's character is. God, I hate this movie. See, this is why I don't talk about the things I like, guys.
It's okay to have different opinions.
Like, I disagree with a lot of the things Jeremy just said, especially about M. Night.
Lady in the Waters, from Chris's perspective, he says, back in 2006, I watched this movie at my new theater in New York. doing the typical thing a crazy projectionist does at midnight, watch a movie. Don't know if it was the atmosphere or what, but I really enjoyed it. It got horrible reviews, though. In 2021, watching it for sins purposes, you see this movie as a way for M. Night Shyamalan to exorcise his demons slash critics. Early on, he was tapped as the next Spielberg. He did The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, and Signs, all big hits. Then he does The Village, which sucked ass. I think he took the criticism.
It was a big hit.
It was. I act as if I know. I don't. I just want to
It was a hit. It was definitely a hit.
I think he took the criticism of that movie to heart and decided to package a whole film around it, claiming that this was some bedtime story he used to hear. It's hard to watch as the lady in the water, subtly named Story, finds the person she needs to find most, a writer who's going to write an important work. The writer is played by M. Night Shyamalan himself. The critic is played by Bob Balaban. I might have said that wrong. And he might be the best thing about it, but as a true target of this movie, he's a pompous ass. He hasn't written anything in years, which is a criticism akin to, he's just some guy in his parents' basement being a troll. At one point, Paul Giamatti,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Asks him for advice because as a critic, surely he knows what's important to a story. And Giamatti is looking for characters at this apartment complex that fit some sort of archetype that will help him lead Story to the end of the story. Of course, everything the critic tells him is wrong. At one point, Jeffrey Wright says something to the effect of, how can someone be so pompous as to be able to know what characters are going to do? It's no surprise that the critic gets ripped to shreds by the movie's biggest antagonist, the Scrunt, who sneaks into the apartment building later for no apparent reason except for the movie to kill a guy. Except for the movie to kill this guy. The most annoying thing about this movie is that there is an older woman who knows the whole story, and Paul Giamatti needs her to tell it so he can figure out what to do, but she won't tell him all of it for some frustratingly stupid reason, and he even has to pretend to be a child with a stupid milk mustache to get the whole story. Then, confusingly, there's apparently a whole lot of mythology to the story, with more tales to explain even more things. I just wondered why, A, she couldn't tell him the whole story, and B, why he couldn't just find all this stuff on the internet, since it's clearly a story that's been well known, at least by some cultures. So we see Giamatti ask her for more story, and he always gets like a couple of paragraphs, but never the full thing until later. And M. Night apparently doesn't want you to think too deeply about that because he's weaving his own bullshit story on top of that. And that is the end of their thoughts on Lady in the Water.
I find it interesting that any movie makes people that angry, but this one's fascinated me. I've only seen it the one time. I saw it in the theater. I thought it was fine. I didn't love it, but I was like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, that seems like that's reasonable. That's a decent movie. Mm-hmm. And then after I saw all the hate geared towards it, I've kind of just never watched it again because I'll just have that opinion. Because this happened with The Happening, too. I saw The Happening in the theater, and I didn't really like it, but I was just like, yeah, that was, you know, I kind of had an entertaining time at the movies. And then I watched it again, like, a year later. I'm like, oh, no, that movie's not very good. I'm going to leave Lady in the Water in my mind as a decent movie.
Yeah.
What are some of your sins?
Oh, for me, so I really liked the thing at the beginning where it said war upon war played out as there were no guides to listen to. And then the sin is, if you have to tell me a story before you can tell me a story, I don't want to hear your story. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
We've already mentioned the character introduction by Ass. That might have been one of my favorites. The dialogue in the movie is Mr. Heap as a player. And the sin is, God, I could see Mr. Heap in the act of sexual intercourse, and I wouldn't come to that conclusion.
So funny.
Oh, my God. And then just everything about the Freddie Rodriguez character only exercising on one side of his body, like all that stuff just had me dying. So, yeah. No, I love this video. This video is great. And I can definitely see why people don't like it, but I don't know. It's just, it's a movie. I don't know. I think it's weird if somebody made a movie about like CinemaSins writers for some reason and like made fun of us, I wouldn't be offended. I would just be like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So there exists on the internet, a commentary to this movie with Danae, myself, and another friend, a friend of the show, Josh Child. Because Danae loved this movie.
I might need to watch this movie again. Is this still available?
Yeah, this is on YouTube. So basically, you fire up the YouTube video while firing up the movie, and then
and you watch along.
We talk.
Yeah. Oh, I already got my Beyond the Sims for next week.
Oh no.
So anyhow, we've kind of been through this a little bit, but I think the things that people hate about this movie are intentional. Many of them are. I'm not saying all of them are. Certainly, you know, it's not like M. Night is, you know, a genius all the time. But he's smart enough to understand what he's doing here. This is a movie, I think, about why stories are powerful and that it doesn't have to do with how well they hold together logically. The whole thing is about artistry not having to depend on good plots or character reveals, or like all the things we are rightfully sinning it for are, I believe, part of the point of what this movie is doing. And I think it's a really beautiful love letter to creativity and the idea that I don't have to follow your rules. I can just make up stories, because the idea is he's telling a bedtime story to his little girls. That's what he's always said is, you know, I wanted this movie to be like when I tell my little girls bedtime stories. I'm not thinking about, does the plot hold together?
That's a
frightening
story.
I'm not thinking about, does the plot hold together? I'm not thinking about, you know, these things that are supposedly make it better. I'm just thinking about being creative and being an artist. And Danae, I think that's why it appeals to you so much, because you love that part of storytelling where it's just like this world that I'm going to be in. And, you know, like, so I do think a lot of that is intentional, and it's why I give this movie a lot of grace.
Yeah, and I wonder if, just in the grand scheme of things, maybe there's a better movie in there. Like maybe he just didn't, you know, cook it long enough. I don't know. I mean, I haven't, like I said, I haven't seen it since it came out, so it's hard for me to comment on that. But just watching the Sins video, I don't know. I have a feeling there's like an insanely good movie in here, and he had a lot of cool ideas, which is why I always like him. Even when he misses, he always swings, you know, and there's something about that I have to respect.
Well, and that's why people love it's a love it or hate
except
it
for last
kind of thing. Well, even that's a big swing. It's
it's terrible.
Like, I mean, in my opinion, it's terrible.
Yeah, no,
I think The Happening is a bad movie that I can kind of defend on some level, but it's pretty bad. But Lady in the Water, I think it's good. I think it's the movie he intended to make.
I would like to see The Happening if they recast Wahlberg and Deschanel. Because I'm just curious. Like, I'm not saying they're terrible. I think it could be the script, but
yeah.
You know, like I kind of want to see that movie, like with you know, two different actors in the roles and see how it plays.
I loved the where it's making fun of critics, and then the narrator's like, well, you know, critics are important because they have to bring up how scenes that don't contain lap dances should contain
them. One.
Like, that was so funny.
It's an interesting thing because we don't usually use that sin anymore. So it's kind of like a wink and nod back to a sin that we've essentially retired. Mm-hmm. And people want us to say it. They wanted to see it, you know, in the Sins videos, but we're kind of like, that one just doesn't age very well. We're not really gonna, it's not like one of our go-tos, that's for sure. So to see them kind of wink and nod to the in this video, kind of in that context of like critics and every, I don't know, it was a really cleverly done one. I had that one down as mine.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The what Bill Clinton Secret Service agent said after the Eagle. It is so great. So great.
Yeah, the lead-in was, did the Eagle come? Yep. That was hilarious.
That just made me think. I totally forgot to write this down in Ted Lasso, but who did the colonizing sin?
That was definitely our English writer.
That was like, when I read that, I was just like, damn.
I love it. It's one of the reasons diversity is so important, is because it gives, you know, writers the ability to make fun of themselves in new ways, you know, and the narrator to say different things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really enjoy that. The I want him dead, I want his family dead.
Oh, my God. so funny.
I mean,
listen,
just so
watch
great.
The video just to get to that. The I want him dead rant is one of my favorites, maybe
and
of
if,
all
if
time.
You, if you haven't watched the video, basically the narrator just keeps falling into one of his favorite quotes from The Untouchables, and he can't figure out why it happens.
Oh,
and
so
it just
funny.
Keeps happening. It's really
well, and
great.
It's just great. It's and it feels like, I don't know if it was intended this way, but it definitely felt to me very like kind of meta textual, you know, like, you know, referencing the movie itself, how it's playing around with the idea of story. And I don't know, it totally worked. Whatever Jeremy or Chris meant, it worked.
It's really, really good.
Yeah. And then finally, M. Night threatens his daughters. I thought that was really funny at the end. Yes. As well.
The lead-in is, to my daughters, I'll tell you the story one more time. And the sin is he threatens them. That's so funny.
That's such a brutal slam. I love it. Danae, any final thoughts on the movie or some of the sins maybe we missed?
Not a lot. I think we covered just about everything. I really enjoyed this video, even though it's picking apart something that I really enjoyed and pointing out really appropriate things to pick apart, by the way. I don't know. I love these conversations because it reminds me that you can still love things that other people think are really bad. yeah. So I'm good.
Yes.
I'm okay, guys. Right. I just want to let you know I'm okay after they send that movie. I'm doing all right.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. It's nice. I feel okay. You're okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's move into keeping tabs.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my. Every time I talk. Wow. Is this how Aaron feels? When we're okay, we're gonna try this. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasins.com/BTS. So go fill it out.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
We're going to take a look at some other stuff from behind the scenes that we have kept track of during the process of writing. So let's do it. Who wants to go first?
I really don't have much. I wrote on Ted Lasso and I wrote on SpongeBob. I didn't have to do too much in regards to that, though. So I don't really have a lot, unfortunately,
pass.
This week.
Danae has a pass.
Yeah.
Danae passes.
I have something non-Slack related, so that's interesting. maybe people were hoping it was Slack related.
Does it have to do with medicine cabinets?
No, it doesn't. No. In SpongeBob, which is the only thing I wrote on, I didn't really do anything with this. Well, no, we did have a sin about it raining underwater. Like, that was mentioned in the sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually started, I actually looked into that, because, I was curious if it's raining hard enough, can it actually, basically, rain underwater? And it can't. And in fact, I came, it doesn't.
I know.
Yeah, I don't mean that to sound like I'm dumb. I'm not. I just was curious about the effects of, if you were underwater, it was raining.
Yeah.
But I came across this random thing about the Roatan, how a lot of their tourist stuff is scuba diving, and there's a huge rainy season in Roatan, but they never stop, but it's not like monsoons, it's just hard rain constantly.
It's monlaters.
Huh?
Sorry, never mind. Just continue on. Just pretend.
But it's not like a tropical storm. Like, it's just a lot of rain. So people don't want to be on the beaches, obviously. So they basically they have a huge scuba diving industry because no matter how hard it's raining, they never shut that down.
Right.
And people can go scuba diving. And some people even write about how they think it's almost cooler because, the initial, when you go under, it's a little murky because the rain's hitting the water. But then it actually clears it up underneath. So when you go underneath all that, you can even see more stuff, which I thought was kind of interesting. And then I also just ran. And then because of that, I came across this where you can actually have rivers underwater, which I never knew.
We talked about it in one of the SpongeBobs about the lake. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess you can have
bodies of water underwater because of difference in density and salinity and those kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's I saw pictures of where there's these running rivers, where stuff is settled and all that stuff. And it's really fascinating if you want to Google that. But then I started thinking about, we've sent this, with the ocean and the beach. I still don't know that you could have a beach underwater.
You could call it a beach.
That's true. That's true. You could. But I don't know. I just did a lot of underwater research. That's really the only
exploration
thing I looked into. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I did enjoy that people were like sinning choking on the fly, but not the fact that there's a fly underwater.
Yes. Yes, it is the joy of sinning the show.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
The only thing I had from behind my process this week was in writing Ted Lasso, which was the only one I think I was on this week, with Ian. I love his script notes sometimes. Like in the narrate, we have a narrator section in our scripts where you can write notes to the narrator.
And giving them essentially just, like prompts of things. Yeah,
like
yeah.
pronunciations, yeah. prompts. Do this kinda one like a, you know,
this
a 7-year-old.
Sarcastic. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. In Ian's prompts include things like in all caps, facts from England and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was so that funny. Was the one where it was the lead in for the facts from England. There was at the very end of the episode, he kind of goes, Ted Lasso goes to his hotel room and there's like a welcome basket that has a whole bunch of very England-esque things in it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is something called a pot noodle.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there are good ones and bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the bad ones is like the mushroom pot noodle. It's not very good.
So this is why I bring it up. This is why I bring it up, because it's very interesting that the ones he writes facts from England on is also the one he got taken to task for on Twitter. Somebody was like, that's actually chicken flavored pot noodle.
Now
they went back and forth. It's chicken and mushroom.
Okay.
So he was like, I think Ian basically used the gif where it's like, I am technically correct. My favorite kind of correct.
It's still
mushroom flavored, but primarily chicken and mushroom is what that one is.
That's
but anyhow,
hilarious.
I just thought it was funny that he said facts from England, and it's like somebody on the internet was like, no, not really.
It's funny that he would say the narrator instruction is facts from England. It's like, that gives you the confidence to deliver the sin. I have it on good authority that gifting a mushroom-flavored pot noodle is an ancient classical British tradition, which can be roughly interpreted as, fuck you and the Yankee horse you rode in on.
It's a great sin.
It's an absolutely great sin.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
It's amazing.
All right, let's move on to the comments section.
I want to know what you're thinking.
I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're just going to take a look at some of your feedback from the week. Can be from the comments, from the videos, from Discord, from Twitter, anywhere you interact with us. Danae, why don't you kick us off?
What's
your favorite comments?
Okay, I'm super ready. Look at me go to the comment section. I did have the fly one for SpongeBob from Scarf Fox and Friends. There were 330 likes when I saw the comment, and there was like 7 or 8 people underneath that were joining in on the us not seeing the fly being underwater. I laughed really hard when I saw this. So I'll skip over that one and I'll go to Skylin Springers that says about the same video, SpongeBob. In this video, we point out how bad it is to put money in your mouth. And Skylin Springer says, TV Sins, never put money in your mouth. Me, currently sucking on a coin while saying that. Why would you suck on a coin? Why would you
fixations.
Do that? There are other you can put in your mouth than a coin.
Why do you chew on a pencil eraser? Why do people have oral fixations? You know,
coins though. Coins?
Yeah, sure.
No, those things.
Why do you chew on the front of your shirt? Like people just want to put stuff in their mouth. Like you know,
coins are so dirty.
Yes, they are.
Just,
but if you
and I can't. No. There is a flavor. You can smell. The tinny sort of metallic smell on top of like just human sweat and funk. You can see the grime on a coin. Why would you ever put that in your mouth? I am so perplexed. But at the same time, I feel really glad that I wrote that sin because Skylins was educated.
There you go. Jonathan, what about you?
Also on SpongeBob, Practical Pisces, in reference to the fish teeth, said there is a fish that has teeth similar to a human's. It's called the Paku. Danae probably should not look this up.
I won't. Thank
it
you.
Is super creepy. It is one of the weirdest things I've ever. It's not really creepy. It's just weird because they do. They just. It's this little fish, and it opens its mouth, and there's just its
teeth.
Fucking human teeth. It's insane. Yeah. It's what it looks like.
Yes, I've actually seen that fish on an episode of. I mean, not they show an actual picture of it for just a moment, but it's a show called Octonauts on Netflix.
My daughter loves that.
Octonauts. It's a lot about underwater sea creatures, and that's one of them. And yeah, they look very interesting with their little tile teeth.
I have like one more I wanted to chime in real quick, sure, just because Codename Lasagna said this entire episode, and this is still SpongeBob, this entire episode only exists for the Among Us imposter outtake, and there's nothing you can say to convince me otherwise. You can thank my daughter for that, by the way, because I had about a year of her playing Among Us, and I would just hear from upstairs the, you know, like constantly, and I'm like, what is that? And she would tell me, that's the imposter theme.
Sus.
I'm like,
okay. So sus.
All right. I will mention, well, first I'll mention thank you to those of you who pointed out that CVs and resumes are different. I will just say to you, I think somebody pointed out that that resumes list job experience where CVs list academic accomplishments. I will just say to you, first, those things are very, very similar. And second, people don't understand that distinction. They are using it interchangeably for resume now.
Well, and your
it's
academic
annoying.
Stuff is on a resume, right?
So, right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. It's, they aren't as different as you're saying they are. Anyhow, but the comment I wanted to go with is so perfect. It's from Mona. This was on the Ted Lasso video. Says, people equipping their pitchforks and torches to come for TV Sins. Ted, now hold your horses. This man is voicing his opinion openly, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. Heck, I'd even go so far as to say this was pretty entertaining.
Oh, I love that.
And I just love that. So it's, that's she, exactly
that
right.
That commenter is a lasso beautiful. Person.
Such a lasso.
Such a
Mona,
lasso.
You're such a lasso. thank you for that. That was really, really nice. All right, let's move into Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
We're going to chat about something else from pop culture that we have seen recently, and Jonathan's going to kick us off on this one.
I'll talk about Escape Room Tournament of Champions, I guess.
Oh, nice.
I saw that last week, and I enjoyed the first Escape Room.
Me too.
I thought it was a lot of fun. I think, you know, I liked just the idea that you had, like, these different rooms, the puzzles, the characters are actually working together. To try to solve these, like there was some actual, I don't know, I find stuff like that interesting. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. I didn't really care so much for the, it was kind of predictable that like someone had to die in every room. And then also the ending where it kind of sets up this whole, like there's this this evil corporation, Minos, that's like behind all this. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That all, you know, whatever. So, but I enjoyed it. The second film obviously takes off from there. You've got the two characters that survived returning, Taylor Miller and Logan Russell are the actors that play them. And they do a pretty nice job again. And it just kind of delves more into the what's going on with this company. They have been trying to find evidence on them so they can take it to the police. And then through no fault of their own, through these crazy circumstances, they end up in another escape room situation with, I mean, you see this in the trailer, so I don't think this is giving anything away because it's pretty early in the movie. They end up with other survivors, other people that have won the games. I will say this one has some stuff that kind of I didn't like as much because, A, the start of it is so insanely ridiculous. Like how, like you have to start questioning like, how would this company get access to, like, what they get access to get them even started? Whereas in the first movie, they're in a building, right? So, I mean, you could assume that maybe they made, even though the rooms are insane, you could still kind of, there was some logic to it. Whereas here, you're just like, if we send this, like, oh, I can't even imagine how many sends are going to be around this first sequence where they get thrown into the game again. But I don't know, like over, and then, so they go from there. And then also like, I feel like in the first one, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I feel like in the first one, the idea that people, like you almost couldn't get through a room with everybody. Somebody had to stay behind. They didn't really set that up as much in this one. So I didn't really, but they still kind of followed the same template.
Right.
So that was kind of, But I will say, they still were, there was still a lot of interesting like rooms and puzzles, and the characters were fun to watch them try to figure these things out. You still had that aspect to it. So I enjoyed that part of it. And I think that one thing I saw some people saying, like on Twitter and stuff, was like, I wish they would lean more into the R because this is like PG-13. I disagree with that because I think if they lean more into the R, it just becomes a Saw sequel where they're just going to see how gross they can make a death, as opposed to, and they're going to get away from what's actually kind of interesting about it, which is them trying to solve these puzzles and survive. I think if you liked the first one on any level, I think you're going to get some enjoyment out of this. I think it's definitely, if they keep making these, I think we're just going to learn more about this company. I don't really care as much about that, but I enjoyed myself, you know, for the hour and like 28 minutes or whatever it was that I watched it. I don't think I liked it quite as much as the first one, but I still, it's a slight recommend for me. Like like I said, I think if you have any interest in it or you enjoyed the first one, I think it's worth the watch. Yeah, I had a decent time with it.
The thoughts, I would like to associate myself with the thoughts of the gentleman from Nashville area. I agree completely with almost everything you said.
Yeah.
I had almost the exact same experience. I really do like the first one. I think a lot of it does have to do with low expectations, which happens sometimes. I didn't have a ton of expectations going into it, and I had a good time.
It was a January movie.
Yeah. I was really disappointed in this one in many ways. Not the rooms, though. The rooms are better than the first one. Like the escape room stuff is better in the second one than in the first one, in my opinion. But the plot stuff and the character stuff is, in my opinion, worse and more forced. Like for me, this is a movie that never lives up to its promise, right? Escape room, tournament of champions. It is not interested in actually being a tournament of champions. It is interested in telling you more about the characters you already know from the first one. It's not interested in its new characters. It's not interested in delivering anything new in that way. And that was kind of a bummer to me. I would rather they have had a completely new cast with a completely new theme and do that for a couple movies and then do actual Tournament of Champions with like the, you know, the survivors from the first three movies. Like that to me is more fun and more interesting. I just didn't find the plot stuff in this one and the character stuff is interesting.
I think you're onto something there. Well, and the other thing is once they said like one, they kind of skated around, like we never really found out how those other people won.
No.
And I wanted to know.
Of
like
course.
That would have actually been interesting.
Of
I mean that
course.
one woman makes kind of like a joking comment, like, oh yeah, they just put me in an Uber and sent me on my way. But I was like, no, like, how did you win? Like, you know, how did you win? And then they didn't let them win. You know, they were trying to get to kill them in the first one. And no, there's kind of this thing thing with like slasher films. A lot of people I've seen mention this where they would think it was cool. Like, let's say like Friday the 13th. Like you actually had a Friday the 13th movie where all the final people like come together, like all the final girls
and men and
stuff. Yeah, or final girls. Yeah, they all come together, and then they're trying to find, maybe they're like, you know, fuck this, all this. This is ridiculous. We got to go get Jason and kill him and, you know, take our lives back. And that's kind of like a narrative going on in horror fiction now. There's these books that are being written about what happens to the final girls. That's kind of the same thing you're talking about here. Like, if they could have set up a few of these and then had, like, I think that would have been fascinating.
Yeah.
At least better than this. But I still, like,
The
ending is so silly, but I will say
so dumb.
It's dumb, but I loved the
silly.
I know what you're saying. I loved how they turned that I just loved how they used that line of we have to find a way to get you here. How they kind of reused that line. I don't know. It was from a narrative standpoint, from a storytelling standpoint, it was fun. It didn't make any sense.
No.
But it was but I don't know. I'm not taking these that seriously, so.
Yeah. No, right. Yeah, you can still have fun with it for sure. I'll go next. I checked out the first couple episodes of White Lotus on HBO. This is a TV show about families that are vacationing in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And sets itself up with the first scene that somebody has died on this vacation. They're loading a body into a plane. And then we go a week earlier, and now the show is going to tell us how we get there. I think that's a really, like, we know this is a cliche now, bet you're wondering how I got here, you know, kind of thing where you start at the end. But to me, this is a piece of information we need to kind of, you know, work our way through the mystery of what's going to happen. This is a little bit boring, if I'm being honest, but it is full of the kind of character work that I find engaging. Like these, there's a lot of white privilege stuff here that is really appropriately brutal and interesting to me, where it's like, you know, just the things they're complaining about or the situations they're in, specifically rich white privilege. You know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff that this is exploring. And I'm interested. I am still in. Like after the first two episodes, the episodes are about an hour each, so it's not like a quick, you know, 30-minute kind of watch like we've talked about. But it held my attention, and I'm interested to know the third episode, especially knowing it's only six episodes. It's going to be six hour-long episodes, and it's a limited series. It's not like they're going to leave me with a cliffhanger at the end, at least I don't think. So, you know, I'm definitely interested in finishing this one out, so I thought I'd mention it. The cast includes, you know, people you're going to love. Steve Zahn is always one of my favorites, and he pops up here. You've also got Alexandra Daddario, who's great. Connie Britton. Jennifer Coolidge shows up. Love some Jennifer Coolidge. So yeah, Jake Lacy, who you might know from some stuff, is here as well. Just a really interesting
It's cast. Created by Mike White.
Yes, correct. So yeah, anyhow, White Lotus on HBO Max. I am still interested. This isn't like I loved it so much. Can't wait. This was interesting, and I'm interested to see where it goes. And I like these
I haven't
people,
started so. It yet, but it's on my radar. I typically will watch anything Mike White's involved with. Just not that I like everything he does, but
yeah.
You know, and if people don't know that he wrote School of Rock and I don't know. He's done a bunch of stuff. He was on Amazing Race.
Yeah.
With his dad.
Yeah, that is true. He was indeed.
Yeah.
Danae, what do you got? What is your Beyond the Sins this week?
Nothing. I just wanted to remind everybody that I would like to play Polytopia with somebody. I'm a little disappointed that nobody has decided to play this game with me. Well, okay, Ian and Aaron.
I was
going to
say, hey, I played Polytopia with you.
It's true.
So
it's kind of like, isn't that kind of like your family agreeing to do something with you, though? It's like,
yeah, it's kind of like,
I can tell you what playing Polytopia.
Dad's gonna take me to the dance. Great.
I can tell you what playing Polytopia with you was like. I somehow beat you our first game. I still have no idea how that happened.
I made a couple of really critical errors right at the beginning of that game, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to recover from those decisions. And I did
and
not.
And then our second game, Danae was like, oh, yeah, here's my fancy tribe I bought with new special powers that you don't know about.
No, okay. That did happen, but not the second game. We have to establish some baseline rules. I have access to all of the tribes. And so I need to make sure that if you decide to start a game with me on Polytopia, again, my username to play on mobile is QuackerPunch. QuackerPunch. This is a free game. And if you want to set up...
And you can guess my username.
Is Aaron Dicer. If you want to play a game with us and set one up, as you set the game up, you can click on the tribes and disable the ones you do not want played. And I misunderstood the setup of a game, and I definitely used one of the new tribes, which... I'm learning how to play, and it's a bit of a beast. So anyway, that's one thing is I would love to play Polytopia with more people because I'm really enjoying it. Also, you can see me smashing Ian on if you want to see a video of me
and
smashing
me.
Ian.
And me as well.
We played live, and I put it up on my YouTube channel, so you guys can find that there. And then also, I just wanted to give an update for those who are playing Zentrist and sending me your high scores. You have a new score to beat. It is 11,635. Funny thing of note, I was going to talk about this as my Beyond the Sins today, just kind of a reminder. I love playing games with you guys. And then I saw Ian jump into our live chat and brag about beating my high score, and then he left. So he's not actually here to be stomped, but just know, Ian, sorry, I am still in the lead.
If he listens, you know,
that's
you never know when somebody's going to
hear.
You never know when somebody's going to say something about you that it, you know, impacts you or something, and you don't listen, you know, to that podcast, and so you have no idea what was said. You never know when something like that might happen.
He was in the chat earlier, but he said he was going to see old.
But
so.
Back to Polytopia. Just before we move on, I do want to let you guys know You can set up the games to be where each person has up to 6 days to complete their turn. So it's not something where you have to be fully present and able to game all at once. You can kind of have some time. There are also ones that you have to play within a certain number of minutes. So just kind of look at the descriptions. And if you want to invite myself and Aaron to play, Ian is also on Polytopia. His username, I believe, is just the same as his Twitter handle. And I'm sure it would be fun to set up all kinds of games. So it's just a fun way for us to do stuff together. Okay, that's all.
There you go. That is Polytopia on your local app store. Or Zentrist, again, on your local app store. Or White Lotus, which is on HBO Max. Or Escape Room, Tournament of Champions, which is playing in theaters. Well, that's going to do it for Behind the Scenes this week. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed and go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. If you've got something you want to send us, you can mail it to P.O. Box 881, Republic, Missouri, 65738. You can hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. She is at Denae Says.
DeneeSays.
And he is at Sam Loomis 13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Denae Hughes, a human-toothed fish, and myself, we will see you next week.
Happy National Chili Dog Day.
Oh, no. Oh no.
And tomorrow is Happy National Bathroom Day. Oh, just no. Ironically. That's nothing to do with anything.
Oh, no.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/BTS.
Well, since no one else is here, I'm going to go use the restroom.
Dicer, where are you? My God. Aaron has disappeared. He was there, and then I think he just left. So now it's a mic with no one behind it. Sad day. Well.
I just wanted to let you know that I logged in on a different browser, so I have no authority. I'm not.
Oh.
So do you want me to go to the other browser where I can actually?
No. Okay. No. Go ahead and stay on the one where you have less authority.
Dude, if I hadn't showered, my hair would be like this on the side.
Really? Oh, I want to see that.
No, you're never going to see that. That's why I showered before the show. No.
Patreon stretch goals. What happened, Aaron? Are you okay?
Just not trusting my mic right now. It's on there okay. Got a little wobbly.
It's going to be great. Like, Aaron's just going to be talking in mid-sentence. That thing's going to drop.
It's happened before.
It's happened.
I want it to happen.
It happened during the radio show once.
I'm willing it.
I caught it and kept talking. Do you remember this, Danae?
Oh, yeah. I actually think I caught it on video.
Did you? Maybe you did.
Or right after it happened because you were holding it and you just kept going. It was
insane.
We just
kept going. I just caught it and then just kept talking, like holding it and talking into it.
Huge surprise, but I will react to that.
No. Do you guys watch the Olympics? Mm-hmm. Like when the Olympics come on, does it lock you in?
Sometimes. I know for you it does.
It does.
I do not watch the Olympics.
It does for me. It just, for whatever reason, I think it's just that whole competition, like, you know, anytime I get to watch somebody like at the apex of what they do, whether it's, well, I'm trying to think of the things I've watched this week already, even though the Olympics technically hasn't had its opening ceremonies until tonight. Like I watched women's softball. I watched USA Canada women's softball and was just enthralled in it. I watched single rowing, and it's just the male single row, and it's just these guys just rowing boats, and I'm just like, this is amazing. I can't wait to see who wins. I'm just like, what is wrong with me? What is that part
of
me?
There's nothing wrong with you. A lot of people are like that. A lot of people that don't, because I was curious if Danae liked it, because I know a lot of people like that don't pay attention to sports that watch the Olympics.
There's something about it.
It's a different thing, but I've just never gotten into it. I don't have a good reason. And I, you know, if there's like some stories pop up, you know, like I watched Phelps, you know, that year.
Yeah, the big stuff.
There were certain things, but like I don't like go, oh, I'm so happy the Olympics are on. I'm going to spend the next 2 weeks just, you know, diving in.
Pun intended.
Danae, is there any sport that you get into?
No, I'm a boring person.
That doesn't make you boring.
It does.
You do other stuff.
Yeah.
What if D&D was an Olympic sport?
I don't think it would be.
Not competitive enough?
I don't know. No, it's like in games like that, I mean, it would be people that would be able to research the most interesting way to create the most stacked badass character that can do everything, you know, known to man. And sometimes that's not fun to watch, because it's fun to watch a normal character try to do extraordinary things rather than this character that can, like, you know, create snow. I don't know what I'm saying. It's hard for me because we just amplify the number one position so much. And I get really tied into that. I get tied into where it's like, we're so focused on gold. We're so focused on one. And it's like, you just look at the other people and their stories are just as important and their talents are just as impressive. It just was a millisecond off or something. Yeah, and it just feels like it's saying. This buildup to celebrating the one at the top. And I really don't like doing that, I guess.
No, so, I agree with you. And that might actually be, and I know we don't have time to get a huge conversation about this, but I find that in college sports sometimes, college fandom, I watch my team that I enjoy, but like I stay away from discussion because I think that's weird that people are just so aggressively talking about these kids. Like professional sports, that's their jobs. Like I don't look at that as the same thing. I mean, somebody wins the championship every year, but for the most part, all those guys, they just want to do as well as they can because they need a paycheck. I mean, they want to win, but, you know, I don't know, that feels different to me than the Olympics or like college sports.
Yeah.
So I think that's why professional sports is what I can kind of focus more on. But I almost quit watching sports entirely, and it was the first like couple years I was on social media was why, because I went all in. Like when I went in social media, I just started following everybody like involved in sports and stuff, and then I started discovering how like toxic that fandom can be, and it like made me like not even want to be a fan of the teams I had watched my whole life just because I don't want to be associated with this guy that's, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
But then I kind of backed off that and realized it doesn't matter. I can enjoy what I enjoy. And then, you know, they can do whatever they want to do.
I think for me, competition is, I think for everyone, competition is one of those things that you have to understand what it means to you individually, like how you're built. Like, does it excite you to be the best at something or to win something? How do you balance that? How do you process that? How do you compete and at the same time understand it doesn't make me better even if I win? It just means I win. I was better in this moment. I was better on this day. Maybe I have a little more talent, whatever the case may be. It doesn't make me a better human being. It just means I won this competition. Like finding that balance, I think, is so difficult because of our ego, because of that thing in us that like wants to be better than other people, which is a really weird thing. So yeah, I think how you see that, balance that, like the toxicity that you're talking about comes from that ego-driven part of it. Like we're always going to be the best. The reason I like the Olympics though is I feel like more than many other sporting events, it really is celebrating the competition itself. Like there's going to be winners, there's going to be gold medalists, but like the rowing I watched was an early heat. It wasn't even the championship one, and I was engaged because I was like, these are the best rowers on the planet from their country. Like, that's really interesting to me. And so I watch it as a competition. And I feel like if you watch the opening ceremonies or the closing ceremonies, that kind of thing, the Olympics, at least in theory, has always been about let's celebrate the idea that we can come together as a planet and have fun showing each other how good we are at stuff. I love that. I think that's really cool.
I don't know. I just never got.
But I get it.
I get
how the win-driven mentality, which by the way is a very American thing. You know, I mean, it's not that it doesn't exist elsewhere, but that whole idea of win at all cost. You know, second place is first loser, like all that kind of stuff. That is ground into a lot of competition here.
I'm Jay Watt coming at you.
I thought it was Eddie Watts. Didn't we say a while back?
That's right. It was Eddie Watts. I screwed
Eddie
it
Watts.
Up. I'll figure that out.
Eddie
another
Watts.
Time.
I was thinking that when I was editing last week.
Because my middle name is Edward. I gotcha.
When you said Jonathan Edward Watkins the first, that made me think of Eddie Watts. I was like, oh yeah, I haven't called him Eddie Watts in a while.
I think Nick Jagger is on to something. We should be called Eddie Watts and the B Team.
Eddie Watts and the B Team coming at ya.
I love it. I love it.
I had a dream that I woke up with completely white hair, just like white. Ooh. I was so happy. And then I looked in the mirror and it had streaks of like fluorescent aquamarine, like just like little streaks, like through, like I woke up like some sort of, I don't know.
Like you were Rutger Hauer, like
yeah,
Blade
like some
Runner
sort of anime character or something. I was like, what happened? Like I've been waiting to be like, you know, white haired
Thundercat.
Yes, I was like, what is going on? All right, let's do this thing, shall we? Add that to the outtake.